The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 502. It's the 9th of June, 2016. On the podcast today, I have First Property Group, that's FPO ticker, CEO Ben Habib. He covers the highlights of their preliminary results for 12 months to the 30th of March 2016 and gives three reasons why investors should put them on their Vox Markets watch list. Also on the podcast, I have successful private investor, the Mad Stork, as he's called on Twitter. Not his real name, of course. And he covers a couple of stocks that he likes. He's a bit bearish over the summer months, but he does like Canadian Overseas Petroleum, that's COPL. We've covered them on the show previously. Also likes Plutus Powergen, PPG. Now, click the links here at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog to put them on your watch list, and you receive any RNS these companies release straight to the front screen of your smartphone. If you haven't got the app, download the Vox Markets app. Again, the address for that is voxmarkets.co.uk/app. It's free for iPhone and Android. And also, today's penny stock with potential suggested by AFSAL is Eurasia Mining, EUA. And I'll read out the reasons why AFSAL sees that as a stock with potential in a bit.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chief Executive Officer of First Property Group, that's FPO ticker, Ben Habib. Thanks for coming on, Ben.
Thank you very much.
Now, for people who don't know about what you do, could you give us a brief summary as to what you're all about there, please, Ben?
Well, First Property Group is an AIM-listed commercial property fund manager. We raise pools of cash from clients principally in the UK, and then we invest it in commercial property, the majority of which is income-producing commercial property, in the UK, Poland, and Romania, the three countries we operate in. We also co-invest alongside our clients. We've got our own cash balances that we use to co-invest. And on occasion, if we don't have a fund that we're investing for in a particular strategy, we will buy properties in their entirety onto our balance sheet. So we're a sort of co-investing principal slash fund manager.
Okay, and how long have you been going, Ben?
Since the year 2000.
And your results come out today. We'll go through that. So, principally, why the UK, Romania, and what was the other country you said? Poland. Why those three countries?
Well, we're opportunistic by nature, and we've followed the money over the years, and that has led us to these three countries. We were entirely UK-centric until 05, but our pursuit of high-yielding property showed us in 05 that the UK market was overvalued. We couldn't find properties to buy where the yield on them exceeded borrowing costs. Mm-hmm. And so we started selling our UK properties in 05 and thereby missed the worst of the credit crunch in the United Kingdom. And we started buying stuff in Poland, which had just joined the European Union, where yields on property were high, interest rates were low, and we could actually make quite a big gain on the difference in what we call the yield gap, the difference between borrowing cost and the yield at which we could invest. And Poland was also doing extremely well at a macro level, and actually has continued to do well at a macro level. So that's how we got to Poland. And then we followed our money into Romania, which had similar sort of macroeconomic fundamentals and property market to Poland. It hasn't proven to be as good a country to have invested in during the credit crunch. In fact, it had a very bad credit crunch, unlike Poland. But it is now emerging with a very good government balance sheet, good growth rates, rising wages, lowering unemployment, etc. So Romania's back on our radar as well.
Okay, and do you know how many properties are you invested in at the moment?
Yeah, we have 61 properties in our ownership and under management altogether. We own 11 properties directly, with the rest, with the other 50 being in funds that we manage for third parties.
Okay, and ideally, when you're looking at properties, I mean, what are the criteria you're looking for there?
We're opportunistic, so we keep our mind open about all kinds of property. But the basic parameters that we're looking for, at least on behalf of our funds, are properties where the income on the property is at a relatively high level versus the purchase price, so a high yield, where the rent is sustainable, or if it's not sustainable, at least we've altered the pricing on the property to reflect what we think the ultimate level of rent might transpire to be. And where if we were to apply leverage, we could make a superior rate of return for our investors.
Right, and so far it seems to be going well. I mean, the results are out today. And can you take us through some of the highlights of the results, please, if you could, Ben?
Well, the real highlight, I think, is that the profits that we earned this year were 90-odd percent reliant on recurring revenue streams. Last year, we had a slightly higher profit than this year, but half last year's profit was made out of trading profits on one-off deals, which was great because it strengthened our balance sheet a lot with the infusion of cash that we got from those one-off deals. But this year, we've generated a profit of 7.35 million, pre-tax profit of 7.35, most of which is on the back of the properties we own and the fund management fees that we earn from our funds.
Okay, and it's a time sensitive issue really, but are you seeing any issues as regards the EU referendum, and especially probably in the UK?
I don't think we are. There has been a slowdown in the market, but I don't think it's Brexit. I think it's really principally a function of the markets having risen so much in the last few years. Rents have gone up, capital values have risen, and there's bound to be a slowing down of buyer demand in view of the material increases in prices. So I don't think it's Brexit. And if there was Brexit volatility, particularly obviously after a vote to Brexit, we would use that as a buying opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. And are you sticking with, as far as Europe, are you sticking with Romania and Poland, or do you have plans to extend to other countries there?
We're really sticking with Poland and Romania. We're a small company. Mm-hmm. We've got limited intellectual resource. We like those two countries. They offer up good opportunities for us. And so I think we'll stick with what we've got. Naturally, if we see some other opportunities that are compelling in another country, then we'll pursue them. But at the moment, I think we're happy with Poland and Romania as far as Europe goes.
Yeah. And are these commercial properties, are they in major cities or where are they?
They're right across Poland and indeed Romania. Where we buy offices, we tend to stay in the major cities. So most of our offices by value are in Warsaw. We've got a few office blocks outside Warsaw, but it's basically Warsaw. But when it comes to retail, so shopping centres and retail warehouse parks and so on, we're happier to go regional. And we own supermarkets, shopping centres right across Poland and right across Romania.
Yeah, and I can see you've upped the dividend, which is good news for investors.
Yeah. Well, our underlying earnings have improved dramatically over the year. Our cash generation is good. We've got good cash balances. And so, it makes sense to increase the divvy.
Yeah, definitely. And total assets under management grew by 8% to 353 million. Which is seems good, doesn't it?
Two things. That's a function of having bought more properties during the year, but also values increasing, both as a result of valuation increases in euro terms, but also the euro strengthening against sterling towards our year end. So that all gave rise to an increase in assets under management.
All right, Ben. Well, marvellous. So if anyone needs any more convincing as to why they should put you on their Vox Markets watchlist, could you give us three reasons, please?
Well, I think first and foremost, even though I say it myself, we're an excellent management team. We've gone through the entire credit crunch without having to raise any money from the market to rescue ourselves. In fact, we've increased our dividend every single year through the credit crunch period. And so you'd be backing a good management team. You'd be backing a company with a strong balance sheet. We've got net assets of about 44 pence per share, 14 pence of which is represented in cash. And thirdly, we are operating in growth areas like Poland and Romania, where we can buy properties on much better yields than you can get in the UK. And I think the mixture of a good management team, strong balance sheet and growth must make sense for a prospective investor.
Yes, well, it seemed like three very strong reasons to me, Ben. And what's next before we end?
We've got the immediate steps of the company are to invest a fund that we're managing on behalf of Shipbuilders Fund. We've got about 40 million more to invest there, all of which will obviously be incremental to our earnings. And we've got a number of deals in Poland and Romania we're looking at, which we want to bed down. And again, all of them would be incremental to earnings too.
Excellent stuff. Well, you seem pretty busy, Ben. So listen, don't be a stranger. Come back on when you have some more positive news and we'll chat it again.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is the Mad Stork. You're right, fella.
Yeah, not too bad. So always a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, it was nice to have you on. And I've got to thank you to a certain extent. You and Bell are probably two, you know, well-known investors on the Twitter sphere there. And you've mentioned a couple of times last time, a few times you've come on, about COPL, which is Canadian Overseas Petroleum Limited. And I did buy a bit because I was looking at, I read through the presentation a couple of times and I thought, wow, I didn't realize how much, you know, sort of potential they had. And the fact that the shares, you know, dip below the placing price, and I always like that, you know, I always think, oh, there's a little bargain there, you know. And so I dipped the toe in. I'm not in there massively, but just take us through, you know, what you know about that to refresh people. We've had a mention before, but it takes a while, I think, for a story to stick, you know, because I hear obviously a lot of stories, so I interview a lot of people and I get a lot of ideas suggested to me. But I was looking on the weekend and I was thinking about oil and the price of oil going up and thinking this is good for quite a few companies. Our whole older, quite a few stocks in oil, especially from the big guys, so Royal Dutch Shell. But I was looking around for a junior play that would prove quite well, you know, and I came across two. SDX and COPL. I decided to dip my toe with COPL. So take us through the reasoning behind your sort of investment there.
Well, first of all, I should probably mention that I participated in the recent fundraising. Yep. So I have bought in my ISA as well, at a higher average, but the majority of my shares were in the 3.5p raise. So just to make people aware of that. I'd looked, COPL had been on my radar since 2014 because I knew they were doing a big drill off Liberia, and I knew it was going to be sort of a big exploration thing. Didn't end up buying any, and of course Ebola came along and sort of scuppered their plans a bit. And but recently realised Exxon were back in the country. And had committed to drilling this exploration well, and looked at it again, and just thought this is going to be huge. If people look at the presentation on the website, they'll see that the exploration well is going to be targeting roughly. It's about 500 million P50 net to COPL. So that's 500 million barrels net to COPL, which is definitely the biggest drill in terms of target for an exploration company since TRP 2014, which, as we know, obviously didn't work out before, you know. Before the drill happened, it got up to huge market cap, and COPL's drill is targeting roughly the same sort of prospective resource, but the chance of success, the actual chance that they find something, is much higher with COPL, and the reason for that is that Exxon, who are the partners. Who has COPL's partners, an operator on the drill. So you've got Exxon, biggest oil company in the world, doing the actual drilling.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You know, when you get a small company hooking up with a big company, it's one of the, you know, like I say, one of the biggest oil companies in the world, in the top five, I think, biggest companies in the world. I mean, I'm looking at the market cap now, 382 billion. You've got to, you know,
get much bigger.
Exactly. You've got to think, hang on a sec, what's going on here? So yeah, I like that fact. Yeah. Sorry, carry on there.
So you've got Exxon doing the operation. Obviously, it's down to them when The well is drilled. It will be drilled because they have formally committed to doing it. At the moment, they're sorting out contractors and the drill ship. And I would expect news on when the drill is going to be in at some point in the next couple of months over the summer. My understanding is that it will be in Q4 this year. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be big because you've got Exxon has spent $120 million on seismic, and they have an extra 2 years to sort of firm everything up, and they are extremely confident about the chance of success here. I mean, last year they had a big discovery in Guyana over in sort of South Central America on the other side of the Atlantic. And now, because of how continental drift works, you know, if you imagine the sort of continental plates drifting apart, the bit that they made, that Exxon made a discovery in Guyana, a big discovery, because of continental drift, that if you sort of put the continents back together again, that bit where they made the huge discovery is the other half of the bit they're drilling in Liberia. So they think there's an excellent chance that there'll be another, it'll be the same sort of patch, it's not a very technical term, but sort of the same sort of pool of oil. You see what I mean?
Yeah, do you know what I like? Is that you come on, your attention to detail here. I don't think anyone has ever mentioned continental drift on the podcast before, and it's a first. But I like it because it's very appropriate, very relevant. And also, what I like, when you look at companies like this, sometimes they fly on a little bit of rumour and speculation. And at the moment, like you said, the placing price was 3.5p, and you can buy them at 4, you know, at the moment. So it's, you know, they haven't gone crazy, have they, you know?
Well, the actual buy price at the moment is 3.75. There's a fair bit available. I mean, because of the structure of the placing with the warrants, one for one warrants, which is at 4.75p. Now, what you'll probably find is that some people will be happy to take like 10% profit and then just hold the warrants in case the drill hits. Now, that's, you know, that's not something I'm going to do, but that is something that may happen. You may see that there's a bit available to buy, which is good because it allows you to build a fairly large position before the excitement starts on the drill. And there will be excitement on this drill. I mean, it's the biggest target times chance of success drill that there's been, I don't know, maybe since Red Emperor in 2011, although that was... I actually can't think of a equivalent sort of target time chance of success sort of formula. So as soon as they start getting the story out there, as soon as Exxon confirm a date for the drill, and as soon as people start realizing what an opportunity this is and what the potential is in terms of if they do hit, Shard Capital put out a research note recently, which I'm not sure if you've linked to on your...
Yes, I did link to it. Yeah, absolutely. You sent me the link there and I retweeted it, yeah.
If people have a look at that, you'll see some sort of projections as to what Koppel's share of the LBU-13 block will be worth to Exxon. So, you know, if they hit, they could potentially sell their share to Exxon for X amount of money. I don't want to get too rampy about it, but you know, you could be looking at sort of 30p if they do hit. So
yeah, well, exactly. I mean, the potential issues, and like I said, what I like about it is that it hasn't flown yet. The share price is still there at a decent level, you know. And
I'll put that. Just haven't just don't know about it yet.
Yeah, and that's nice to get the story out there. And I know you've talked about it a couple of times. Like I said, it's hard because sometimes I hear a company mentioned a couple of times, and the noise gets so great then that you know your ears prick up. And that's what happened with Coppel for me. I heard it a couple of times from yourself. They come on the podcast and other guys, and I think people should do research on this. I'll put that link to that note actually on the website.
Yes.
Here, so you can read it. It's worth reading.
I will. Suggest Arthur, because me and Wayne Gibb, we met Arthur a few weeks ago. Now it was actually organised by Sasha.
Now Arthur is who? Point out who Arthur is.
The CEO, Arthur Milholland, CEO.
Yeah,
of Coppel. And so yeah, I mean, yeah, as a result of that meeting, I decided to take the placing, because it was such a brilliant story. But I'm saying that I will suggest him that he goes on podcast, because I think it'd be brilliant to get the story out there. I know he's very enthusiastic about it, like really enthusiastic.
Yeah. Well, it's very exciting, I think. Yeah. What are you, as far as you know, on a sort of overall a perspective, what are you like at the moment? I know you were pretty much cashed up, holding a bit of cash in your portfolio there. Are you still of the same
Still the same sort of percentage.
Yeah.
I've obviously got a big holding in Coppel because of the placing shares that I took. The thing is that we talked about before about potential jitters on the market, and that hasn't really happened. I mean, it's been a few wobbles, but it hasn't really done what we were expecting it to do in terms of Brexit and the summer sort of lull, which is fine because as I said before, it's a case of weighing up the risks, and the risks to me at that time seemed to justify putting a large amount into cash. And I still have a large amount in cash because I still think that the referendum's going to be a lot closer than people think at the moment, than the market is currently pricing in.
Well, absolutely. Do you know what? I tweeted out, is this the start of the wobble? And I remember the Scottish referendum, and I was saying it's going to happen, we're going to have a market wobble. About a couple of weeks before, it didn't happen. And then all of a sudden, the referendum happened. And it's almost like, I don't know what happened, the relief or whatever, but the markets wobbled directly after it. And I was surprised at that. So I still think it'll happen. And I mean, whether you're for Brexit or remaining, the uncertainty is still there. And I was reading an article today on Sky News, apparently. They're saying that I think it's 65 billion of capital outflight has happened in March and April, which, from the UK. And that hasn't happened since 2009.
Yeah. You're going to see, I mean, I have personally shifted some of my cash into US dollars, Swiss francs, because if it does, if Brexit does happen, I think you're going to see maybe a 20% drop in the pound, which would be not good for people holding pounds. I won't go into my personal views on it because it's not really relevant. But I think that it probably will be a remain vote in the end. But it's only sensible given the potential consequences to kind of hedge a bit.
Exactly. Do you know what? I just sent out a tweet earlier and got criticised. I said, "Is this start of a wobble?" Someone said. Scaremongering. I said, no, I'm not scaremongering. I'm just saying that, you should be prepared for both eventualities, really. And I said, considering there is this capital flight, £65 billion have come out of the UK in the last 2 months, not seen since 2009, then you have to realise people, don't like uncertainty and investors don't like uncertainty. And this is what's happening. It's not, I'm not trying to scaremongering, because I am for, and I put it to the level, I am for Brexit. But, I'm just saying, there will be uncertainty, and that's a given. It's like, even down to the facts, no one really knows what will be like if we stay in or leave, I mean, you hear these people arguing. All they're doing is arguing opinion to a certain extent.
Well, And, I think the only thing we can say for almost 100% certain is if there is a leave vote, there will be at least short term. You know, there will be at least short term a very big shock to the pound and to the markets. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a non-zero. You know, it's well, I'd say it's probably better than 50-50 we'll stay in, but it's definitely not a foregone conclusion. So that there is a significant chance that there will be a big shock. And I just think it's sensible to guard against that.
Yeah. Okay. So with that in mind, what else are you bullish on stock-wise, regardless of the Brexit or the Remain?
Well, stock I was bullish on and then sold, and now I'm bullish on again, is Fluke's Power Gen. Because as happened before, I had a load. They messed up with this stupid director chair award, doing it completely at the wrong time, doing it completely cack-handed fashion, and sort of combining it with a de facto profits warning, which was not brilliant. So I sold. But now there's various. I mean, they've a big problem they were having was plant emission. Now they've switched to biodiesel. For their power generators, which should help a lot with planning. They are raising their own funds so they can have a majority equity interest in future generators, which obviously means that they'll be receiving more money off of it. And there was uncertainty about the capacity mechanism, which is one of the components of the revenue. On these generators, there was a suggestion going around that companies that take advantage of tax breaks, as the Plutus structure does, were just going to have their capacity contracts cancelled and you couldn't bid for any more, and that would have been pretty bad. But that's not happening, so that's a good thing.
They've risen strongly, haven't they, in the last few sessions? I mean, they've pretty much climbed up. I'm looking at the last chart here, and of the last almost 10 to 12 sessions, they've only had two down days, and pretty much they're pushing up now to 1.55.
Yeah.
And so it's looking strong.
You look at the rise from similar levels up to 2p last year, which I think was sort of helped along by Charles Tannell, the director, appearing on the podcast, which I think he may do again. I mean, it's looking very, very similar in terms of the dynamics of the rise. You know, you're not getting massive volumes, but you are getting some volume. You're getting any dips bought into, and there's just not a lot of stock around. It looks looking good for a continued rise. And I think in terms of news flow, you're going to see a very busy period coming up.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So it's two there. Cool. All right. So PPG, that's Plutus Power Gen, and COPL to put on your watch list there, definitely. Any other stock you think could be an interesting one to look at?
There's ones that I've mentioned before, which I'm still in, SLP.
So the situation with SLP is that the Mighton Fund Group, are selling. Because the fund managers changing strategy there, and so there's big downward pressure on the share price. Is the seller out yet or not, or what's happening?
Well, I wouldn't have thought so at the moment, because you see that it struggles to break this range. Every time the ask goes sort of above 7.25, it gets kind of squashed down again. So it seems reasonably obvious that the seller is still there. But they can only have so many shares. And you look at the fundamentals, which is operationally they're going to be hopefully are beating their targets in terms of ounces produced. And more importantly, you know, the price of platinum is, you know, although it dipped recently, it's back up again. Mm-hmm. And it's back, you know, the average over this quarter that we're currently in and they'll be reporting on in July is significantly higher than it was in the previous quarter. And in the previous quarter, they generated $2.1 million of cash, $2.1 million in cash. So fundamentally, it's looking brilliant, but you've still got this supply of shares in the market. But as I say, they can only have so many. And once when they do run out, I think you'll see a big move.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And any others at all or any other thoughts?
No, I mean, I think that's something I've covered my basic market position.
Yeah.
A lot of cash and some in other currencies. But, you know, there are some stocks that I'm still bullish on.
Yeah, cool. All right, Philip, well, thanks for coming on. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I'm off for a week and I'll speak to you next month. And by that time, we'll have been over the referendum hurdle. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And we'll chat there and always discuss in retrospect what we thought. You know, if it's going to happen, would it have happened? You know, or did it happen? All right, thanks very much for coming on. And I'll put your link, your Twitter, on the blog page there so people can follow you. And you always put out some interesting stuff there on Twitter. So much appreciated. Speak soon, fella.
All right, thanks, Justin.
Okay, today's penny stock with potential, suggested by AFSAL, is Eurasia Mining, EUA ticker. What does the company do? 3x PGM and gold exploration and development projects. So 3x polygold metal projects. Yeah, that's what it means. Do your research there. How many shares does the company have in issue? 1.4 billion. What's the current price on market cap? It's 0.55 pence, 7.5 market cap. How much cash or debt does the company have? £700,000, no debts, in brackets. List three reasons why you think this company has potential. Number one, West Kytlim platinum production starts in July. It's a joint venture partner paying for all costs in exchange for a 70% stake. Number two, excuse my pronunciation here. Semonovsky Tailings Gold Silver Project joint venture with Metal Tiger and metallurgical sampling results imminent. Number three, Mont Tundra Project joint venture or sale in advanced discussions and further results pending. So that's Eurasia Mining, EUA ticker. Please do your own research on this company, as I suggest with any companies. Listen, the podcast is a podcast of investment ideas. Some ideas are phenomenal. Some are not. Some go the other way. That's why it's essential you do your own research. And I think the first step to doing that are putting these companies on your Vox Markets watch list and you get their story as it unfolds. Remember, it's never too late to get into a stock. I say it's never too late. That's not entirely true. Sometimes it is. But generally, you know, there's always upside potential. In a good story, there's always upside potential. If you invest at the right level, buying at the right price, good company at the right price, to the little dynamics that you have to get right, two moving parts, I should say. By the way, listen, the all price sweepstake, if you haven't taken part, please do it now. If you're listening to this after 4:30 on a Thursday, it's closed for the week, but there's over $500. Up for grabs. All you need to do is go to voxmarkets.co.uk/OPS, make a guess. If you were spot on with the price of Brent crude, and we take the price at 12 p.m. midday on Friday, then you win 11 weeks worth of rollover money. All right, so that's voxmarkets.co.uk/OPS. Good luck. Thank you for listening. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.